On page Lama Gimel, see if you bez. We'll try to understand. Shkides HaTorah, a person being diligent in the study of Torah. Shkides HaTorah, being consistent and diligent. Mitzayeres Yofa B'Neshama. Es HaTchuna HaYisraelis. Mitzirosa HaMiuchedis. There's something very, very different about Jewish people, regardless of where they come from. And there are Jews who come from Ashkenazic backgrounds. They have certain flavor. And the Svardish, and from the Syrians and the Iraqis, and the Taimanim, all different. Each has a different tam. And by the Ashkenazim, the Litvish, and the Chassidim, among the Chassidim, among the Litvish, and the Russian Jews, and so on, the Hungarian Jews. It's all different flavor. And all of that is part of the beauty of Knesset Yisrael. But none of those distinctions of custom, culture, none of those chilukim really capture the tchuna hayisraelis v'tziras am yuchedes. There's a unique quality, a unique character of a Jew. The unique character of a Jew can only be acquired through consistent study of Torah. All the other things are beautiful trimmings. Beautiful. And there's such a chen. Every yid, from wherever he or she comes, and all of the tchunas that Jews have, there's certain traits and characteristics that we have. But shkedes haTorah, but it's only with shkedes haTorah. This serious and consistent investment in learning Torah, because Torah is the pnimius of Klal Yisrael, is the essence of Klal Yisrael. And when a person is shoyked al limud haTorah, when he learns, and a girl, a woman on her level is connected to learning on her madrega, the limudim that are good for her and that are right for her. So only through that, Rav Kook says, "Mitzayeres yofe b'neshama es atchuna Yisraelis v'tzurasam yuchedes." Only then is there drawn, is there painted, is there, does there unfold in the neshama the tchuna Yisraelis, the true character of a Jew, v'tzurasam yuchedes, and the unique tzura of a Jew is not this accent or that minhag. Those are all beautiful things. Ubazer himemalois es hauma chayim. And when this individual yid is a shoyked al Torah, when he brings out the inner characteristic and quality of what a Jew is supposed to look like, that's the best contribution he can make to the Jewish people. That's the best contribution. Ubazer himemalois es hauma chayim. He fills the nation with life. He fills the nation with life. Because that's our life. The life that comes out, that's revealed only through Shkedes HaTorah. Because only Shkedes HaTorah draws out the Tchuna HaYisraelis V'Tzurasa HaMiuchedes. There are many, many people that like to imitate, impersonate, that like to pick out or pick on the idiosyncrasies that Jews have. Some of the most famous comedians in America, probably 90% of them plus, I mean, I don't know over the last years, but most of them are Jews. And they came from Jewish homes, And they picked up on a lot of the interesting things that are part of the character of Jewish people. And of course they focused on certain weaknesses and certain, and they magnified certain funny things about Yidden. But they were not, because they were not learning, because they became distant from Shmiras HaMitzvahs, they were not able to accurately in any way to portray the true tchuna of a Jew. The true tchuna of a Jew is not found in comedy. It's not found in literature. It's not found in painting on the wall. It's found in Shkedas HaTorah. When you want to see a Jew, you go and you meet Reb Chaim Kanievsky. That's a Yid. You go to see Rav Yosef, his father-in-law. You go to see a tzaddik. When you look at a tzaddik, when you're with a tzaddik, his whole life is learning. There, the Shkeda Sator is Mitzayev, is Yofa, and the Shamas, at Chuna, Yisraelis, with Tziros, Ami Yuchedes. The true image of a Jew takes shape and form in the neshama of such a person. Because the mitzvahs of a Jew, the emissary quality of what a Jew is Torah. It's not a matter of culture. It's not literature, music, and art. All of those are true. They have a connection. They're giluyim that come from a certain tchuna, which is fading away by people who are not learning Torah. Like I mentioned a few months ago, I read an article last year that there was, I don't know if it's still going on, but there was a certain hisairus on different campuses in America among Jewish students to revive Yiddish as a study, to revive Yiddish. Yiddish literature, and Yiddish theater. You know how big Yiddish theater was here in America. And Yiddish literature to revive that among Jewish students. So they have different universities in America. They started a Yiddish department and so on. There's only one problem, is that what's Yiddish without Yiddishkeit? Those Jews, even though the Yidden, most of the Yiddish, they were not from at all. Many of them were keneged. They were against Yiddishkeit. As hard as they tried, they fought desperately to get rid of the Yiddishkeit. But they couldn't help it. There was a certain tchuni Yisraelis that came out from their fathers learning Torah day and night. And when they were children, they were sitting and learning. When they were children, most of them were sitting in cheder. They were sitting in yeshiva. The boys and girls now on campus, the shaykhs, the Yiddish. So I was laughing. I mentioned this when I spoke about this a few months ago once in one of the chaburas, that how could you revive Yiddishkeit? So I asked, I gave an example back then. Some of you, I think it was the during the week, the Chabur, I gave an example. How do you say, you might remember this, how do you say toilet paper in Yiddish?
No.
You don't?
In Yiddish?
In Yiddish, how do you say toilet paper? No, I'm wrong. Asha Yutzer papir. Asha Yutzer paper. That's how you say. Asha Yutzer papir. That's right. Asha Yutzer papir. Asher Yotzer paper. Do you have any other nation in the world like that? Asher Yotzer paper. That's how you say toilet paper. In America, they say toilet paper, but it's Asher Yotzer paper. Asher Yotzer paper. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to have a degree in Yiddish to give somebody, who's on a campus someplace in Chicago, a place, and he's majoring or minoring in Yiddish, and he never made an Asher Yotzer in his life. If you said, even though Mendel Amarchus Farim was a Kaifer, and Shalom Aleichem was a Kaifer, but they grew up and they were children, they said Asher Yotzer, you understand? That's how they were raised. They were raised Asher. And when you said to Mendel Amarchus Farim, Asher Yotzer appeared, he says, ah. And he knew exactly what that meant, because he knew what an Asher Yotzer was. And he had said Asher Yotzer. Oh, now he didn't like it, and he was against Asher Yotzer, but it didn't make a difference. That tchuna, that character of a Jew, comes from Torah. Without Yiddishkeit, what's Yiddish? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have the neshama. Shkedes HaTorah, Mitzvahs Yofim, and Neshama, as a tchuna Yisrael, it's only through Shkedes HaTorah. Hasmada and Torah. That's the true character of the Jewish people. Torah. That's how it comes out. And that fills our nation with life. Not museums with Jewish life. Museums of Jewish life. Be Lebedik of Jewish life. Not books about Jewish life. You go into a home and the people are not from, and the son's married to someone that's not Jewish, and they have painting on the wall of the shtetl, you know, with somebody with a beard and pious walking in the street. That's dead. That's not alive. The life of the Jewish people is only through Shkedus HaTorah. And the more, Rav Kook says, the more shoikdim, the more who are sitting and learning Torah, the more life. There's no artificial life of Klal Yisrael. You could try to imitate, and many people do that, but you can't. It's a very cheap and poor imitation of Jewish life. Jewish life is Yiddishkeit. And people are trying very hard to have Jewish life without Torah. You see that they're trying very hard. It doesn't go. Because their grandchildren are not Jewish. The grandchildren, you can't have Jewish life without Torah. So to fill the nation with life, it's only with Yiddishkeit. It's only with Shkedus HaTorah. And that, what's Yiddishkeit means? More and more Torah. And the Mela, Kol Echad Ve'echad, each individual person, HaPoyel Api Chelko, that's doing his share, that's doing his best. His chelik in Torah, whatever he's able to do. His chelik in Torah, he's doing his best to get to his chelik in Torah, to find out what's his chelik in Torah, to work at it hard. Bainahu Olam Mala is building an entire world. Not like what people say, that the guys that are sitting and learning, what are they doing? Again, when I say the guys that are sitting and learning, we're talking about people who are serious and are learning. The ones who are being paid to learn and are not learning, we have a word for that that's called aganiv. It's a very common Jewish word that everybody knows that Hebrew word is called aganiv. Aganiv, and there are other words that could be used to describe such people who are being paid to learn and are not learning. But when a Yid is learning, wow. So the people, and you can't always blame them because they don't always see the ones who are supposed to be learning. So it's done. Many people just have a terrible attitude. They think that the people who are sitting and learning all day are batlanim. And here Rav Kook says, "Umeila kol echad ve'echad." Those people are shoiket ala Torah, who are shoiktim on Torah, who are sitting and Masmidim and learning. That's tam a person who's learning. The shoikdim who learns a little bit. Those who are sitting and learning. Bainahu Ailamalai. They're the most constructive, the most creative people who are making the greatest contribution to Jewish life. More of a contribution than the curator of the Israel Museum in Yerushalayim. Who, after all, I don't know who it is, I'm just saying that position, spends every day, all day long, figuring out new exhibitions of Jewish life. And I went to the Jewish Museum, but the Israel, I don't know what it's called. And they took parts of shuls, mamish, and they showed how there was a little film on how they took, how much money they spent on this, to take pieces of shuls from around the world and to bring these shuls. And you go there in the museum, they have a section where, you know what I'm talking about. If you walk from Rehavia a little bit and you have the museum, it's a big, big museum, and they have like shuls from different places in the world that they took with such expense and yigiyas to bring it to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's a nice thing. These places would have been necher, but that's not Jewish life. That's a museum. It's a museum of Jewish life. But you think that this guy is making a gewaldige contribution, these people in the museum, to Jewish life, because they're portraying in a very beautiful way what Jewish life was all about, how it was like, in what was it like in Greece, what was it like in Gerba, what was it like in Galicia. Okay, it's a nice thing, but that's not Jewish life. The ones who are Baina Eilamalai are the ones who are Shaikdim Alatayr. Those are Baina Eilamalai. That's Jewish life. Yud Gimel. Yesh Musa Pnimi, Shal Shkedes Atayr. Haba Me'ahavas Ha'uma Uchvaida. You know, Kook is saying a very interesting thing here. Well, he says everywhere. But right this minute now, here where we are, many, many Jews who are not learning Torah love the Jewish people. I'm sure the guy in the museum also does. Most Jews, I believe, love Jews, one degree or another. And Jews are thinking and wondering, what is the best thing that I could do? What is the best place to go to connect to other Jews and to feel and to strengthen my ahava, my love for the Jewish people? Where do you go for that? Do you go to the museum? Where do you go to get a big hisiris of ahavas yisrael, but not for the moment of hisiris, to build within yourself ahavas yisrael? So if Cook writes, Yesh Musa Pnimi Shal Shkedes HaTorah, there's a very, very deep inner Musa that comes, he says, Yesh Musa Pnimi Shal Shkedes HaTorah, that is connected to Shkedes HaTorah, Hasmada, and learning. Haba Me'ahavas Ha'uma Uchvayda, that comes from the love of the nation and the honor and the glory of the Jewish people. What does that mean? So Cook explains. Eich lo yirtze ben Yisrael adas es kol teres umaso. How could a Jew not want to know the Torah of his people? In other words, let's say, let's use a marshal. I mean, this is a silly marshal, but a marshal. It's a very silly marshal. I should try to get a less silly marshal. When I was growing up, so some of you might know, I was a Yankee fan. And the Yankees, there was a player, Mickey Mantle, number 7. I don't know if anybody here remembers that. It was from that Tkufa. Okay. So, I was Meshuggah with Mickey Mantle. He was a great baseball player. I thought he was a great human being. Afterwards, I found out it wasn't so pushy. But I was a big Mickey Mantle fan. So I had put up pictures and I had everything in my room, Mickey Mantle. And then when I would go to Yankee Stadium, so over there by the stadium outside, they had all these different stands, like little kiosks, and you can get all kinds of memorabilia. You know, you can get this picture, that scorecard, yearbooks, the Michigan Mickey Mantle. And then somebody wrote a biography of Mickey Mantle. So I got the biography of Mickey Mantle. Because since I loved Mickey Mantle, I mean, I never met him, but I loved Mickey Mantle, so I wanted to know every possible thing I could about him. I wanted to know. I mean, I wanted to know where he davened. I wanted to know I wanted to know what his favorite tzedakah was. Understand? Why you want to know everything about? When you love someone, it's natural. When you love someone, it's natural that you want to uncover, to excavate, and to get to the Oitzah HaRuchni of what makes that person tick. You want to know what makes this person tick? What is it? What is that tchuna hamiyuchedes of this person? That's natural. So, let's go back to the question. You love Jews. You love the Jewish nation. You love the Jewish people. So, you want to, naturally, because you love the Jewish people, not you love, you're in love with the Jewish people. So naturally, because you're in love with Knesset Yisrael, with the Jewish people, you want to be able to read up. You want to be able to get to the Oitza Haruchni of what makes this people tick. That's natural. So Rav Kook says, Eich lo yitza ben Yisrael ladas is called Taras Umasa. How could it be that a Jew would not want to know called Taras Umasa? I had the same thing though. Then there was the tkufa I went through that I was crazy with English literature. Whatever. No point in explaining these mishagasim. But 18th century English literature. I read every single book on 18th century English literature. I memorized 1,000 poems. And I was with English literature, 18th century. Why 18th century? Not 17th or 19th? Akasha. 18th century English literature. I was on the sugar for that. It wasn't just this poem or this essay. It was, I wanted to understand, who are these people? What is this? Where does this come from? What's the shurish of this? That's natural. So these are all ridiculous mashalim that we all are familiar with. We all know. Now they have this. Now they have an internet. A person meets some kind of a public personality or a celebrity. They can go on. They could on the button. They could press this personality. They want to know about this individual. They press that button and they put that name in. And you have for people, for celebrities, I'm not only talking about the Hollywood, all these, but you have for public people, every website, well, I don't know if that's called a website, but every name, it tells you, you could see how many people went to see something, right? It always tells you that 250,000 people went to see this Indian. So, again, I never really saw how these numbers are, but from what I understand, what guys have told me, that it's mamish astonishing how many people will go to these things to see about some person. Whatever. Because you want, this is whatever reason, people are attracted to that individual. If it's a Hollywood, one of these things, of course, this is a big taiva, and people are attracted, and they don't just want to see that person on the screen. They want to understand the whole Torah of that person. So if Cook says, "Lahavdul ben Atomei v'Atar, Eich lo yitze ben Yisrael adas," it's called Torah Sumasa. You want to know Jews. You love Jews. It's natural to want to understand what makes Jews tick. What is a Jew? The only place you can get that is in the Torah. That's the only place you could reference that is in the Torah, by learning Torah. Not just, and learning Ushkeda, Hasmada. Eich lo yitza ben Yisrael adas is called Torah Simosa, hachaviva v'hakadosha, that is beloved and that is holy. L'chol prater, Rav Kook says, How can a person not be meshuggah? You love Jews. How can you not be meshuggah to learn every single drop of Torah that you can get your hands on? Because every single drop of Torah is what? Is Araisa, Kutshabrihu, and Yisrael. You love Jews. You love God. This is it. This is the place to Google. The Torah. Because Kutshabrihu, Yisrael, Araisa. Chag. So it's natural, and that's why Rav Kook says, "Eich lo yitza ben Yisrael adas is called Torah Umasa, achaviva v'kadosha l'chol prater." Ad kama Shiyodoy Magas Biahavan Ne'emana, as far as his hand, meaning as far as his heart and his mind can reach in his understanding of Torah, with loyal and faithful love. Same thing with these people. They love Eretz Yisrael. They love Eretz Yisrael. Anybody says something that sounds like it's not Eretz Yisrael, and that's not, even though I don't understand how some of those people still live in Chutz Laaretz, but let's say they have a reason that they can't go. They have a reason that they can't go. So they love Eretz Yisrael. They love Eretz Yisrael. What do you have with Eretz Yisrael? If you really love Eretz Yisrael, then the only place that you could understand what Eretz Yisrael is by Shkedus HaTorah. It's by learning Torah. Or else, what do you have? You have something. You have a Nishmas Yisrael, so there's something in the Neshama of a Jew, of course, that draws you to that. So these people are drawn to Eretz Yisrael, and they care about Eretz Yisrael, and they worry about the matzav over there, and so on. Say that because every Yid comes from that place, and Nishmas Yisrael feels that. But if you really, really love Eretz Yisrael, if you really, really love Yerushalayim, what does it mean? It means to go on a tour twice a year? That's what it means to really love Yerushalayim? You're a much bigger lover of Yerushalayim if you sit in a dusty Beis Medrash someplace in New York, and you're sitting and you're learning the Chesed Avraham from the Chida's grandfather of us, haste Yerushalayim, what's Yerushalayim? You're a bigger lover of Yerushalayim than going on a tour for half a day and saying, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, really? Oh, that's so interesting. And then afterwards, you don't remember anything. You take a couple of pictures and you email them to a couple and you show you a picture of yourself standing in front of something. And okay, it's nice. The nicest thing about that is that it gives panosa to Jews. That's really the nicest thing. As far as this kashrus, that's so, shkeda satayu. I'm not saying that doesn't mean that a person should live there or go there. I'm not talking about that at all. The thing is that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael, and a person who truly loves Eretz Yisrael, the Emes and the Oimek, how could he not, like Rav Kook is saying about loving Jews, how could you not try to learn more and more and more Torah? Because what Eretz Yisrael is Torah. Every single inch of Eretz Yisrael is another Tosis, another Rashi, another piece of Gemara, another Maimon Chazal. Every piece of Eretz Yisrael is Torah. People that are not religious, they don't know. They don't know what is it that fascinates them about Jews, why they love Jews so much, and why they love Eretz Yisrael so much, or why they have a special feeling for that. So they think it's a cultural thing, yeah, whatever. The Derech Zeh. Now, this way of learning, obviously, this is not Torah Lishma. It's not Torah Lishma. It's a Torah that comes from a love for the Jewish people and a fascination with the Jewish people. So that's not Torah Lishma. It's nice. It's very sweet, but it's not Torah Lishma. But Rav Kook says that the Derech Zeh, however, this Derech, to begin this way, Pesachu, it's an opening. Pesachu, it's an opening. Lasek b'Torah Lishma. It's an opening to bring a person into the world of Torah Lishma. Pesachu, lasek b'Torah Lishma, b'muvana hayoseh niskav, in the highest meaning, in the highest form of a Torah Lishma is. It's not yet Torah Lishma. It's a Torah that it's throwing oneself into Torah in order to become closer and to have a deeper and deeper understanding of Yidden and a deeper understanding of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook doesn't speak here about Eretz Yisrael. He talks about this. We'll see later on about Eretz Yisrael. It's for that. That's not Torah Lishma. In other words, he's not learning for the sake, let's say, Torah Lishma according to Baal Shem. He's not learning for Dveikus Baal Shem or Rav Chaim Lozhner for Torah itself. He's learning because he feels a strong, powerful, he identifies in a very powerful way with the Jewish people. And the greatest treasure of the Jewish people and the greatest source of Jewish life is Torah. Yofi. That's not Torah Lishma. But it's a Pesach to Torah Lishma. Therefore, if Cook calls this a Musa Pnimi Shashkedis, that there's some deep Musa, there's something, there's a Musa Pnimi of Shkedis Torah, Habo Mi Ahavas Ha'um El Chvayda, that can come, that could begin with the love of the Jewish nation and the covet of the Jewish people. Many times that's how people start learning. Many of the Baal Tshuva started in such a way. Didn't start with Dveikus B'Hashem, many times didn't start with any, even what they didn't think they had, Emunah B'Hashem. They didn't even believe in Hashem. Skashes to Jewish people, and the understanding that if you want to find out what a Jew is, and why is it that I feel that there's something special about Jews, why do I care about other Jews, you understand that you're not going to get the answer to that in the museum. You get the answer to that in learning Torah. That's how many people start. What do they do this? What's a cool thing that they take kids to Israel? I forgot. Birthright. Now, I don't know the people, you know, the people who are doing that. Okay, I think that I read when it started, they're very worried about assimilation too, but they're not people of Torah, I don't think so. They're not people of Torah. But they want Jews to stay Jewish people. That's also an interesting Indian. But they want the Jewish people to be a Jewish people. Fine. That's also Madraga. So they had an idea. So take kids from the campuses. They're no shaykhs to Yiddishkeit. Try to get them to go. Give them a free trip there to Israel. Something for free is also very deep Indian by Jews, right? So you give them a free trip. So that combination of free and Eretz Yisrael could work. So you give kids a free trip to Eretz Yisrael. Some of the Frumma got hold of this, and they connected to this, and they tried to get themselves into this Indian. So you understand, it's a gewaldige hechatimtsa. It's a gewaldige hechatimtsa to bring Jews around. So then they have Jewish heritage things where they take kids to Auschwitz, they take kids to Poland and these places. So what is it that makes a Jewish kid cry in Auschwitz? So this kid didn't put on film his whole life. The kid never kept a Shabbos, never heard a Kiddush in his life. And you have to figure out a way, also, scholarships, free, figure out a way how to get this kid to Auschwitz, to visit these places, to come to Poland, to see the Ramah Shul. What does he have with the Ramah? He never saw the first Sif of Shulchan Aruch. He never saw the last Sif of Shulchan Aruch. Was that a Shachis to the Ramah? We take him to Prague, they go there. Some of them heard of the Golem. That is the only thing. The Golem. But otherwise, they don't know from any of this. It is a good idea. It's a very good idea as a Pesach, because it's a way of taking advantage, in a good way, in a holy way, taking advantage of that hergish that a Jewish person has to the life of the Jewish people, to Jewish life. It's a hergish, and how to take that and to use that, which is a chokhmah, and it's expensive. But it's an emergency situation. You know, whatever you can do to help people, to bring them back. It would be much easier if you say, could we skip the trip to Europe and just open up Chumash Rashi? Could we just skip the whole trip thing and just start learning? But the whole idea is through these trips that maybe somehow this kid's going to end up in front of a Chumash. He'll end up in front of a Gemara. And it happens. A lot of times it happens. When you meet Jews in these places, you see how open they are to Yiddishkeit? When we were last summer, we were in Poland. So we were the whole week in Poland, and then Shabbos we were in Prague. Baruch Hashem, because I was already very much wanted to get out of Poland. And we were in Prague. Prague is already a Lebedeke place. There's already Lebedeke Yidden over there, and it's a Lebedeke stump. Even the Goyim in Poland, they're not alive anymore. They died. When they killed all of us, they died. And in Prague, there's still people that are alive. You can see, it's a different world, Prague. So, Shabbos, we were staying with the whole chevra. We stayed in this hotel. And the hotel was five blocks from the hotel. A block from the hotel is the Altnaya Shul, the famous shul, the Maral Davin, a block from the hotel. And then you go another three, four blocks. So I daven there Friday night in the Maral in the shul, but it's not a place where it's more like there's a tourist thing. So I felt I wanted to be there, but I didn't feel to daven the Shabbos morning, so I daven in Chabad It was like another 5 blocks was, 4 blocks was Chabad. And so we spent, we davened in Chabad, and Shabbos, all of us ate there by Chabad. We ate lunch with Chabad. And I'm walking back Shabbos after lunch to the hotel, and there was a block from the hotel sitting there. It was a very hot day. They were sitting there someplace. It looked like 50, 60 people. And there are people, it was summer, and people are not dressed properly. And you can't walk anywhere. It's a very big tourist place. You have to walk with your head down. And I'm going with my wife, and I'm walking, and with the other chevre, and I'm going to the hotel. And I'm trying to look to see, just to follow where my wife is going, and to go walk past this. And there are a whole bunch of people sitting there in all different kinds of not being dressed situations. And we're walking there, and all of a sudden, a bunch of ladies start to scream out, "Rabbi, Rabbi, Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi!" They start to scream out to me. These ladies start to scream out. They see a Yid in a shrimal, you know, walking over there, in the Shabbos Lavush. So they scream, "Rabbi, Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi!" So I stop, I go like this, and I said, "Yehudim? Yehudim?" They're Israelis, so they all start to scream, "Betach Yehudim, ma! Betach Yehudim, Yehudim!" So I said to them, "My good Shabbos, Yehudim, good Shabbos, Yehudim, Yehudim, Yehudim." And they were, Betach, they were so excited. Now, if I met somebody's chevre in Herzliya, and I'm walking with a Shrimal, do you understand? The same chevre, sitting in Herzliya, she says, "Oh, see, what do you think you are? You think you're in Poland? Right? What are you, man? What's the matter with you? Over here?" I wasn't, it's not like I went, I didn't even look at them, and they thought they had to scream out, "Rabbi, Yehudim, Shabbos, good Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom," they're all screaming. "Mom, I'm telling you, here's my wife, what happened?" It was I couldn't calm down. When I came to the hotel, I was like this, I couldn't calm down from the whole Indian of Yidden, of what a Jew is, of that Indian of a Jew. That he has to go to Prague. This chevre had to go to Prague, these Israelis, so they could see a guy in a shtreimel, and it makes them happy, because it always annoys them when they're in Herzliya. And he has to come all the way here to see a shtreimel, and to be happy to see a shtreimel. The oimik of a yid. So when they're away from home, and they spent the whole week, most likely also in Poland, and now they're sitting, let's say, or they didn't go to Poland, but they're in Prague. And what's in Prague? Prague is that they're hearing all about the morale. And the morale's koyach is very, very, very big, the morale. His koyachs are very big. It's not that he just lived a few hundred years ago. The koyachs of the morale is alive. Mamish alive. Morale is a neshama klalis. The morale is a ruach apein l'mashiach Hashem morale. And the whole Prague is under the hashpa of the morale. Every step you take is morale. The goyim have big derecheres. The goyim are afraid over there. They have derecheres. The goyim, when they pass the morals, because they're seen as, they also go into the cemetery. We had to wait online. Jews, we had to wait. There's a whole long line to go into the morals scene. And you can't even stop in Davin there because there are thousands of people. And the goyim are walking by, they're making Hail Marys in the cemetery by the morale. The whole place is shaking the ruach of the morale. And so these Herzliya Yidden, so they're in that place, and they love Jews. They're Jews. They love Jews. They don't have anything against the guy with the shtreimel. You know, when they say those things, it's something else. It's nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. It's whatever they have there in Yonim. They're upset that their grandfather left Yiddishkeit. That bothers them. That's why they're yelling at someone. It has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. They're not against Yiddishkeit. These people. They love Yiddishkeit. And when they're far away. And they're in such a place, and they're in the Maharal's Ruach. So then you could talk to them and say, Shabbat Shalom, Yehudim, and they hear it very, very strong. Because they love Jews. And they come to such a place, and have all of a sudden, it awakens that thing. From there, you can get a person to sit by your sefer. Obviously, it needs to have a lot of follow-up. You can't just say good Shabbos and walk away. But there needs to... But that's what there are people that are trying to do this, to use these things. Even though I don't know the birthright people, they just don't want them to marry goyim, I guess. I don't know, they don't want them to be frum. They want them to just, that they shouldn't marry goyim. But the problem that the birthright that they don't understand is that without you discover, without learning, they can't stay. They're not going to stay. The only question is, how do we use this hergish of love of Jews and love of the Jewish people and love of Eretz Yisrael as a Pesach to sit and to learn Torah? But the true tzur of a Jew is only in Torah, not Jewish history, not Jewish art, not Jewish music, not Jewish this or Jewish that. It's Torah. But Rav Kook is saying, the derech zeh Pesach hu lasik b'Torah lishma. It's an opening to Torah lishma. It's an opening. He says, I'm a Jew. That there's a hashpor by being in such a place that I'm a Jew to say such a thing. So he goes and he feels that a shaykh is to being a Jew. Oh, that's already a Pesach. So what Rav Kook is saying here is that those Jews who are learning Torah, where their entrance into Torah or their limud Torah is because they love Jews and they want to have an understanding of what makes Jews tick. What is a Jew? And who are these people? And what am I? And who am I? And because of that, they're learning Torah, even though that's not Lishma, it's more of a fascination, it's more of a curiosity, it comes from a love for the Jewish people, but it's one thing. So that's a Pesach to learning Torah. It's a Pesach to learning Torah, he's already learning, but it's a Pesach to learning Torah, Lishma. For Dveikus Bashem. Yudal. Kishanishama Mishaeris. Ad kam ha'ish Yisrael mukhrochu kaidim kol adas is Teres Yisrael. When the Neshama Mishaeris evaluates, estimates, tries to understand, Ad kama ish Yisrael mukhuchu kaidim kol adas is Teres Yisrael. How the prerequisite to being a Jew is you have to learn Torah. You must. Ad kama ish Yisrael mukhuchu kaidim kol adas is Teres Yisrael. That's the first thing. Teres Yisrael. You want to have a shaykhus to Jews. You want to have a shaykhus to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You want to have a shaykhus to Eretz Yisrael. Then Torah. Kaidim calls Torah. Mukhachu kaidim kol das is Teres Yisrael. Vad kama kol achaim haruchnim mukhachim, next page, lios mivusosim al yisoydes maisim b'chaya tziv b'chaya yachid. And through learning Torah, to appreciate, Misharis means to also to appreciate, also can mean that, to appreciate ad kama, how much kol acham ruchni mukhrachim, how Jewish spiritual life can only be based upon what yisaidis maisim, practical and real yisaidis b'chaya tziv b'chaya yachin. In the life of the community and the life of the individual Jew, misayreres chuka gedar lelumad hater hamaisi. In other words, what is it that would drive a person, that would motivate a person to learn halach? A lot of halach. Of course, Yirat Shamayim. Emuna, Yirat Shamayim. Say, of course. Rav Kook is saying it's not just that. There are ulterior interior motives. Of a person who understands that if I want to be able to have an attachment, a connection to Jewish spiritual existence, that Jewish spiritual existence is not some kind of a fluffy idea. Jewish spiritual existence is built upon the yesidus of the practical moment-to-moment, day-to-day life in the tzibur of a Jewish community, with a minyan, with talis and tefillin, with Shabbos and halach, and all the halachas, the b'chaya yachid, the tzibur, the yachid. This itself is misayreres chukah, through this is misayreres chukah, gedayla lelimud hater hamaisi. it awakens within the person a tremendous longing to learn practical halacha, to know the ins and outs of Jewish life. Again, the ins and outs of Jewish life is not gefilte fish and chayim. The ins and outs of Jewish life is hilchos erevin, basar b'chalav, tefillin, Shabbos, and so on. Nesaras shukah gedai lelimud ha'tayra ha'maisi. I want to know. I'm desperate to know every single thing of how a Jew is supposed to live. Not how Jews once lived. That's interesting. That you could look a little bit before you go to sleep to read something that's nice. Not how Jews once lived. How Jews live. Chukah gedai lelimud ha'tayra ha'maisi. To learning practical Torah. Torah ha'maisi. Hamoyres darche chayim, that teach us, that instruct us how to live, the paths of life. Now here, of course, says we have a bit of a paradox that can create some inner turmoil, that can create some turmoil within the person. On the one hand, and this of course, Rav Kook refers to this all the time in his writings. We've seen it time after time. This is Rav Kook's own personal. This was his own personal turmoil, and it comes out all the time in his writings. On the one hand, there's that need of the soul to connect to the practical, most basic practical halachas of that moment to moment, day to day mitzias of a Jew, of Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, there's the great, great, deep emotional longing to have an experience of the ruchnias of what it means to be a Jew. And in the limud of a person, when a person is learning, there's a very big difference when you're learning, when you're trying to learn, you're trying to understand what the Gemara is saying, you're trying to understand what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, you're trying to understand what the Pesachet Shuvah, what this din is, and when you're learning a piece of Musa, Chassidus, of Pnimius, and so on. There's a very big difference. And this can create in a person a feeling of conflict and turmoil. That on the one hand, the neshama understands, the neshama misha'eres, appreciates and understands that in order to be a Jew, you have to live every single second, every second, Shulchan Aruch, every second of the Jewish life. And because of that, there's a tremendous desire to know Hilchos Shabbos, to know the halachas of the kitchen, to know the halachas. But at the same time, there's such a powerful longing to connect to the whole picture of the ruchnias of Knesset Yisrael. Vatshuka haruchanis nilchemesi alandasa. So when the person starts to get involved in the nitty-gritty of halacha, then there's that tshuka haruchanis, there's that spiritual longing that begins to fight for itself. Hey, what's going on with me? What about the feelings? What about the emotions? What about the singing and the dancing? What about all of that? What's going on? Because on the one hand, the person has that appreciation which creates this tshuka, generates a longing to deal with the practical ins and outs of halacha, to be a Jew and to live as an individual and as a community a Jewish life. On the other hand, at that same time, there is awakened, dafka because of that, there is awakened within the, there's that shuk aruchanis, is nilchemes alamdasa. It begins to fight for itself. What's going on? What are you sitting over here on a little sif cotton in the Mishnah Berurah, on an argument on the Mogen Avraham and Taz, in this Bir Halacha? What are you sitting on this for the last 2 hours? What about your neshama? What's going to be with you? What's going to be with the whole thing? Veinem aniches atshuka hamaisis shetim sholhi memshola bilti mugbelas besidri halimud. Therefore, that part of the person, that part of the ruchnis of the person, doesn't allow the practical halacha side to rule completely over the sidri halimud v'archas achayim v'machshava, completely over the way of life and the schedule of learning. Doesn't allow it. That ruchnius fights to be represented, not to be neglected, not to be forgotten. And there's this clash. This is Rav Kook. Umitoich ahisnagshus, and from within this war, this clash, hisnagshus is a clash. By the Goyim, they have the class of 72, the class of 73. By Yidden, we have the clash of 70. That's what it means to be a Jew, to be in this matzav. This is a person who's a mevakesh Hashem, understands what Rav Kook's talking about. It's a hisnagshus. Umitoicha hisnagshus shel eilah shtei hatshukas habayaros, the two fires that are burning, and they seem to be at odds with each other. There's the fire of Jewish life, which means this Magen Avraham and Taz, this moment as a Jew, and then there's the fire of the Maral. There's the fire of the whole thing, or the Ruchnius. Umitoicha hisnagshus shel eilah shtei hatshukas habayaros. And from within this clash, this war of these two burning fires, of these longings, Rav Kook says, don't worry. It's good. This is a good milchama. Yetzei or mavhik, a shining light will emerge. Kolel bekir by Oisha Safun, that contains within it a hidden wealth, a hidden treasure. Kalua mishnei ha-karchus yachta, that's woven from these two karchus. That's woven from these two karchus. Haruchni v'hamasi, the spiritual and the practical. Umishneihem, and from these two that are woven together, from this war, this clash of the two worlds, from this, umishneihem yibonu nishamais shonamais. Nishamais that were destroyed, that were ruined, that were broken, that were shipwrecked, will be built. Yibonu neshamas shomemais, v'yiskainin am ha'olam, and the nation of all eternity, the Jewish people, the eternal people, will be established. V'yiskainin will be strong and will be established am ha'olam. Ha'hoylech lechadish es ne'urav, that is moving forward to renew the days of its youth, to come back to the beginning, to be young again, the Jewish people. Al Eretz Mata'osai, on the land in which we were planted, in Eretz Yisrael. Al Eretz Mata'osai, in Eretz Yisrael, the land of our youth, of where we started, of where we became Hashem's people. We move forward through this war. Of course, this is not a bad thing. Don't worry about this. This is a good milchama. This conflict, These two fires that are vying for a position in the heart and the mind of a Jew. Rav Kook says it's okay. From this war, there's going to be woven a light that is so pure, that is so beautiful, that together these two koiches, these two tshukas, will build the ruined souls of our people and establish us as we return to our youth, to be mechadish our youth in Eretz Yisrael, which is the plan, the place where Hashem planted us, where that's the place where the healthiest growth of a Jew. And Rav Kook, of course, is referring to the learning of Nigla and Nista, and we'll see much later on how the Ikkar in Eretz Yisrael, that a person can join those two, to learn together Halacha and Agada, to learn Nigla and to learn Nista. That's the place that comes from the place where a Jew was planted. We were planted. Hashem planted us in Eretz Yisrael. That's the natural soil of a Jew. Therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, a person can be loyal to the natural life of a Jew. The natural life of a Jew is these two burning fires. For halacha, for gemara, for practical moment-by-moment Jewish life, together with the fire of Pnimius of Torah, the fire of that chukka of Dveikus Bashem. That's natural, healthy Jewish life. Okay, we'll finish the parak next week.